I am Jim Rome. What's going on? Welcome to the jungle. We start our third hour. We are live in Southern California in the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. All right, so a busy third hour. Bruce Feldman joins me next segment. Telephone number is toll-free. It's good in the U.S. It's good in Canada. 1-800-636-8686. We start this third hour, though, as promised, by talking to a running back with the Chicago Bears. 59 yards from scrimmage and a touchdown on Thursday. Nearly 800 yards from scrimmage. 6 TDs on the season. He is fourth in the NFL in punt return average. The Deacon Jones Trophy Award winner and an All-American at North Carolina A&T. He was the 119th pick overall back in 2017. The Bears are at the Giants on Sunday. Tariq Cohen is my guest. Tariq, it's good to have you back. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, good. Hey, listen, before we talk about the game that you had on Thursday, let me ask you this. What's it like to play on Thanksgiving Day against the Lions when you know that literally the entire nation is watching and so are your peers are as well?
It's great. You know, it's a football tradition to play football on Thanksgiving. So, you know, to finally be a part of that was great. It was a great thing to be a part of.
So you're in the middle of that whole thing. Mitchell Trubisky was unable to play on Thursday, which meant that Chase Daniel was going to be under center. And as an offense, you didn't have a lot of time to prepare with Chase leading up to the game. So how were you guys able to come together, get on the same page, and execute as well as you did?
Because, you know, Chase is a veteran, and he's been around the offense for a long time. So him coming in, you know, it's really not much to adapt to when he knows the offense better than most of everybody on the team. So when you got a quarterback that can step in that easily, you know, it makes wonders for the rest of the guys.
Tariq Cohen joining us. Then early in the fourth quarter, you caught a pass from Daniel. You go all the way for a touchdown. What did you see on that particular play? And then obviously, how good did that feel to get into the end zone?
It's a play that we've been having for a couple weeks now. We just haven't gotten the right position to call it. And we finally got in, you know, like the big red zone where we could call it. And Chase put a perfect ball up, and I ran a good route. And you see the product of that.
And then when you got there, you lay down, took a nap. It was a great celebration. What was the thinking that went into that celebration?
My special team coach told me to do that. He said I should eat a piece of turkey and then, you know, go to sleep. So we did that.
I like it. Tariq Cohen joining us. Pretty much we all did it, except you got it to the house. Now, Coach Matt Nagy had that play in the playbook for a while. He said he'd been waiting for the right time to call it. Obviously, that was the right time. What's it been like to play in his offense?
It's definitely been great because you never know, you know, where you're going to be in the offense, which makes it so much fun. It makes it like backyard football again. You know, you can be split out wide at the running back position or, like, line up in the slot, you know, and that's not just for me. That's for any position. So I feel like, you know, it just makes offense fun.
You know, then you guys went through a stretch where you faced Detroit twice and Minnesota once in 12 days. You won all three of those games, making a huge statement in the NFC North. What's it say about this team and how good you can be and your upside?
It just shows how much we're growing, you know. It shows that we're a young team, but, you know, we're mature enough to handle getting our bodies in shape and getting mentally prepared for games, well, for a test schedule, like 3 back-to-back games, that fast of a turnaround. So, you know, it's another challenge that we took, and we ran with it, and we got it completed.
I mean, you're 8-3 now. You've won 5 straight. You've already got a lead in the division. So what's the vibe like inside the locker room and around the facility when you come to work every day?
Oh, it's a good vibe. You know, everybody's very happy, very eager. But it's also a hungry vibe. You know, we want more than just 8-3. After where we finished last year, you know, we want as high as we can go this year. You know, we want to see what our ceiling is.
Tariq Cohen of the Bears joining us. Now, you were part of that 2017 rookie class, which also includes guys like Eddie Jackson, who's got 3 turnovers returned for TDs this season. You and other members of the 2017 class felt like you were going to be the guys to help turn this organization around. What gave you that feeling when you first arrived, and how does it feel to see it happening and play out?
What gave us that feeling is that all of us, you know, were brought in to contribute immediately. So we all saw playing time, and we all did well, you know, our rookie season. So that's what we really found out. Like, you know, we're going to be part of this turnaround. Like, we're going to be the difference makers, and it starts with our class. So, you know, we took that, and we ran with it, and we take that very seriously. You know, all of us still talk about how it's our class, and how it's our class that's going to make the change. And, you know, we keep that in mind and just remember back on that.
Tariq Cohen joining us for a few more moments. So when you see Jackson scoring the way he does on defense, you see Khalil Mack doing what he's doing on defense, how much does that motivate and fire up the offense? In other words, do you feel like the offense and the defense were able to feed off each other?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That goes hand-in-hand, you know, with just the overall game of football. You know, if a play happens on special teams, a big play, say if I have a big return, it gets the offense, you know, good field position for a short field, you know, for an easy score. And then say, like, if Eddie Jackson scores a touchdown, you know, it don't get easier than that. It gets the offensive points. It gets the whole team points. But, you know, we're very excited that Eddie's having the season he's having. And also excited that Khalil Mack is here and he's just, you know, dominating the way that he does.
And speaking of returns, you're the leading Pro Bowl vote getter for returners in the NFC. What would it mean to you to win that vote and to go to the Pro Bowl?
It would be amazing. You know, it'd be it would speak on the support I have, you know, from everyone that knows me and follows me. And so I would have to give all the credit to them, you know, because I don't know what it is. I think it's like it's a percentage of the votes, right, that counts, actually.
Right.
But, yeah, so it would be wonderful, you know, for me to get that nod.
You know, you and I have talked in the past about your journey to this point and how a lot of schools overlooked you. Now that you are where you are right now, you're having a big second season, you're getting mentioned as a Pro Bowl candidate, your team's in first place. I mean, is there any part of you that wants to say, how do you all like me now?
You know, I just keep trying to get better. That's the way I like to show that, you know. And then when it's all said and done, then I like to say that, you know, I don't know how I'm going to finish up yet. So, you know, when I'm done with football, then I look back, you know, talk to all those people.
Really? Not till the end of your career?
Yeah, I still got more to go. They can still be proven right, you know, if I mess up.
Tariq Cohen joining us. All right, so we've talked about the work that you've done also in the community, and it's something that you continue to do. You've said that when you were growing up, you didn't get a chance to meet a lot of people who were in this position that you're in right now. So what's it mean to you to know that there are kids out there who do get to meet you and then get inspiration from you? What's that like?
Oh, it's great, you know, because I only dream of something like this happening to me when I was younger. So for me to see their eyes light up when they see me and, you know, be happy that they meet the NFL guy, it's just great, you know, just to be that type of positive reinforcement in their lives if they don't have any, you know, is what some kids need.
Good for you. Well done. Nearly 800 yards from scrimmage, 6 TDs on the season. The Bears are at the Giants on Sunday. They're in first. Tariq Cohen, my guest. Tariq, great to have you back. Really appreciate it. Thanks so much. Talk to you again, Tariq Cohen. All right. They're taking care of their business now, and they're doing it on both sides of the ball. Chase Daniel just steps right in. They don't miss anything whatsoever. Beat Detroit on Thanksgiving Day, and now they've got the Giants on Sunday. The Giants had a huge lead against Philadelphia, and they let that get away. Odell Beckham was not happy about that. Wanted to know why they didn't attack a Philadelphia secondary that was all banged up. You know what I have to say about that? He's right. Sean O'Hara came on in the first hour and said, at the same time, Saquon Barkley is the best player they have. Why are you not feeding that guy 25 times a game when he is your best player? Odell Beckham, who you could also argue is their best player, said, why are we not attacking their secondary? Why aren't we going vertical with it when they're busted up? And I think both are right, or they are both right. And then you've got the NFC North, and you've got Chicago on top, and then you got the Packers. Why don't we go back to that for a minute? Packers, Viking fans talking a lot of junk. Again, where were the big bad Vikings when I needed them to beat Chicago? When I put myself out there on the NFL on CBS, they weren't there. They didn't show up like that. But now Viking fan is flexing and feeling good because they did the Packers. The Packers are not what they were. And Aaron Rodgers, as good as this guy is, and maybe nobody's ever been better, this guy cannot do it by himself. Cannot do it by himself. And you look at the numbers from last night. 17 points, 254 yards, 51 plays. All that because Matt Nagy made Chase Daniel look like a world beater back when they played. And Mike McCarthy's turning the Packers offense into whatever the hell that was. Again, 17 points, 254 yards, 51 plays. So you could talk about injuries. You could talk about personnel changes. But if you've got the most talented dude ever to spin a football under center, you've got to be more than that. You've got to do better than that. Now, again, I'm not going to count them out just yet. I can never count Aaron Rodgers out. Not that guy. Not with that schedule. Not if the math says they're still in it. Now, Mike McCarthy, on the other hand, I can't make such an argument for. Again, I'm not calling for a man's job. I respect the work he's done. He's a good coach. He's a good coach. In fact, I'd say he's a very good coach. 13 years in the same spot. It's a hell of a run. Nobody's going to rip that ring off his finger. But that Lombardi came back in 2010, and a lot has changed since then. Pretty much everything except for that Packer offense. So when I hear number 12 go to the podium and break down what needs to happen between now and New Year's for the Pack to play their way in, then I'm going to listen to what that guy has to say. He basically lays it out as simply as you can.
So we just got to go back home, get some rest, beat Arizona, and then come back and beat Atlanta and go to Chicago, a place we've won a number of times, beat them, go to New York around Christmas, beat them, and then come home against Detroit, beat them, get a little help.
Now, we'll say this for Aaron Rodgers. That's not exactly R-E-L-A-X, relax. It's very matter of fact now. Very matter of fact. Here's our schedule. Beat them, beat them, beat them, beat them, beat them. Get a little help. I mean, Arizona, sure, I could see that. But going to Chicago, and notice how he said, where we've had a lot of success. They don't look the way they used to, and I know the Bears don't look the way they used to. And the Packers right now have got the same record as America's team. The other America's team. The new America's team. The Browns. And as crazy as it sounds, if you're looking at the talent surrounding each of those franchise quarterbacks, you know, one who's a Hall of Famer, one who's the soon-to-be franchise quarterback, you're going to take Cleveland's every day of the week. Because what does the Pack have? You know, a lot of you are jumping Aaron Rodgers. And I'm not saying that he's without responsibility. I'm not saying he's without blame. But a lot of you are jumping this guy. Look around him. Who does he have? What does he have? Aside from the play calling, that's not helping at all. Davante Adams and some guys. Aaron Jones got buried on that bench by the head coach before finally seeing playing time recently. And now, don't look now. The guy's playing at a really high level, but he is 35. Now, I know Tom Brady and Drew Brees are making that look young, but 35 is 35. It's closer to the end than it is the beginning. You don't want to waste another great year by Aaron Rodgers. And as you watch a team like Chicago essentially reinvent itself in a single offseason with a new head coach and some cutting-edge offense, how do you look at Green Bay and not wonder if they're wasting this guy's best years? So, no, I would never bury Aaron Rodgers and not playing as well as he's playing right now. And again, I'm not saying that he's without responsibility. But don't be rushing in to bury this guy. And Mike McCarthy's seat has gone from hot to atomic. And after all these years of the Pack being propped up by their quarterback, regardless of if they make another late season run or not, it's going to come down to the coach this time, right? I don't see how this guy survives this playing the way they're playing right now. And I'm not looking to get anybody's job. But really, how is Mike McCarthy going to survive that or this with them playing without inspiration or any creativity whatsoever? Nothing's changed. When we come back, we'll talk some college football. Bruce Feldman joins me next. With it getting colder, the struggle to get out of bed is real. And Casper makes it so tempting just to stay cozy under the covers. The most comfortable mattress that I have ever slept on. High-quality mattress at an affordable price. I sleep comfortably. I never wake up overheated. And that thanks to the unique combination of foams that provide the right pressure relief and alignment. Casper ships right to your door for free. In a box so small, you wonder how they even do it. They will pick it up. If you don't love it, they'll refund you everything. From its engineering to its packaging to letting you try it for 100 nights. It's no wonder that Casper's had over 35,000 five-star reviews of all their products across the Casper, Google, and Amazon lines. So now is the perfect time to give Casper a try for yourself or to gift Casper to somebody you care about. Are you looking for that Black Friday or Cyber Monday deal? Then head on over to Casper.com and save 10% on your entire order with any Casper mattress. Once again, Casper.com. Terms and conditions do apply. Go to Casper.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Bruce Feldman may move to next segment. He's in the middle of something right now, so we are efforting. He's a pro. He's trying to do his job and accommodate us as well, so we'll see if we can set that up. That could happen any second or maybe next segment. or maybe not at all. We'll find out. And don't forget, we've got RPO 12, Ep 12, coming up after the show. Trevor Price, Rome Price Opinion, our NFL-only podcast, which airs on Mondays during the football season after the NFL weekend. He'll preview and pick the Monday game, the Thursday game. We'll recap the weekend. Look for that, RPO, Ep 12, later on today after the show. I'm still looking for a good ATP, too. If there's anything that I've talked about that you want to get to, you want to do it now. If there's something you want to talk about that I've not gotten to, then do that too. Whatever you want to hit on is fine by me. Notre Dame coming into the Coliseum, taking care of USC. So SC loses back-to-back to their rivals. Intersectional rivalry, crosstown rival, not a good year for USC. Where does that leave Clay Helton? You ask his boss, Lynn Swan. Apparently he's fine. I'll get to that in a minute, but first let's go to the Berg in Pittsburgh. Adam. It's good to have you, Adam. How are you?
Hey, Rome. How we doing, buddy?
Good, bud. How about you?
Good, man. Hey, I am from Pittsburgh. I was born in Cincinnati, and I've had to stick to my roots. Always been a Bengals fan. My question and my opinion for you is this the final year for Marvin Lewis? Is that why we brought Hugh Jackson back?
That's the thought, isn't it, Adam? Let me jump into that.
That's what I'm thinking.
The speculation. That's the speculation. Hey, Bengals fan, how's that taste? How's that grab you? Good news, bad news. Look, I'm like a lot of people in the media. I can't speak for other people in the media, but I can speak for myself, and I think I do speak for other people in the media. Like, we all like Marvin Lewis. And I think Marvin, for a long time, did a nice job there. I think Marvin's a good dude. And I think Marvin is a good coach. I think Marvin's a good leader. You know, I agree with everything he said and done. But I'm a Marvin Lewis fan. I like him. However, you know, you're 16 years in with no playoff wins. And you got to wonder how long that's going to go on. And if they're finally going to make a change, that'd be one thing. But if the change they're going to make is to go to Hugh, and you're a Bengals fan, and that's been the speculation, how's that feel? All right, more on that in a minute. As promised, we were efforting and we have succeeded. I found my next guest. He is a reporter for Fox Sports and FS1. He is a writer for The Athletic. He is a New York Times bestselling author. His latest book, The QB, is out in paperback. Good friend of the program. He is everywhere. We are joined by Bruce Feldman. Bruce, I know you're having a busy day. Great to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jim. Good to be on with you.
Good to have you. So, from Washington beating Washington State in the snow, to Ohio State hammering Michigan, to Notre Dame beating USC, to Texas A&M and LSU going 7 overtimes, and then staff members getting into a fight, that is a wild, wild weekend in college football. What do you make of what you just saw overall?
It was crazy. I mean, to me, the craziest thing was that 7 overtime game there. LSU at A&M, you had some really questionable calls along the way. I thought both quarterbacks played really well, but it was just kind of just a crazy game. And then you have the end of it, after the fact, where you have this incident between what it sounds like Jimbo Fisher's nephew getting into it with a staffer who has Parkinson's. And Kevin Faulk is involved, the former Patriots running back who now works at LSU. Just kind of, it's a really nutty, awkward moment for the SEC to kind of sort out. And in a lot of ways, it's like, you know, the game isn't nationally relevant to the playoff, but it feels like it was probably one of the more odd things in what has been kind of an underwhelming season. Certainly beyond that, huge results out of Columbus with Ohio State once again dominating that series against Michigan. I mean, that is a relevant storyline that if you're Jim Harbaugh, that's not going away anytime soon.
No, it's not. Bruce Feldman joining us. And Bruce, you're in Columbus today doing work ahead of the Big 12 or Big 10 title game. Going into Saturday's game, all the hype was surrounding Michigan. I mean, what kind of a game were you expecting between the Wolverines and the Buckeyes this time around?
I thought the way this was trending, Jim, as good as Michigan's defense was, as much as Ohio State's offensive line had struggled, I thought this would be the year they could get them. And it was not the case. Ohio State's offensive line really stepped up. I mean, Dwayne Haskins, I just talked to Urban Meyer. He didn't get touched in the game, and he looked like a Heisman contender. I mean, threw 6 touchdown passes. You have a really talented group of receivers stepped up, and they made the number 1 defense in the country look really average. I mean, Michigan only gave up 7 touchdown passes all season going into that game, and Dwayne Haskins got 6 of them in that day. I thought it was quite a show. It was a big statement game for Ohio State, and I think, quite honestly, they reminded people, oh, yeah, this is a really talented team, and when they bring their A game, which I don't think they had all season up till that point, they could play with pretty much anybody else.
They put it all together on that day. Bruce Feldman joining us. He's actually in Columbus. So, Bruce, what about Harbaugh then? He's 0-4 against Ohio State. They won't make the college football playoff. They have not won a Big Ten title in his time there. They've watched Ohio State, Michigan State, and Penn State do exactly that. At what point does the patience wear out in Ann Arbor?
I think there's got to be some frustration. The patience is probably worn a little bit. But, you know, look, they still have a really good year, but they have a problem with the other team, their arch rival. Quite honestly, has more talent than they do. I think it showed up. You know, this is a really good team. It's not, I don't think it's as good. If they play their best and Ohio State plays their best, Ohio State's going to win. They may not win by as many as they did, but he's just got to keep recruiting and developing better players. I mean, I think it's that simple. You know, that, like I said, I don't think he's on the hot seat or any stretch. You know, he's going to win. You know, he may win 11 games this season. It's not a bad year, but I think for a lot of people, until they can finally beat the arch rival, it's going to feel like he's not getting the job done, because the job as that head coach of that program is to win the game that matters most, and he has not been able to do that.
Bruce Feldman joining us. All right, Bruce, in terms of beating the rival and being on a hot seat, how about here in Los Angeles? The patience was wearing thin among USC fans when it came to Clay Helton, and that's before he lost to UCLA and Notre Dame. But AD Lynn Swann said yesterday that Helton would be back next season. How do you think Trojan fans are going to react to that news?
Not well. I think they had already made up their mind. A lot of them didn't want Clay Helton in the first place. Now, look, to Clay Helton's credit, he won a Rose Bowl. He's won the Pac-12 title. This year was certainly a big step back. You know, they didn't have Sam Darnold. They have a good group of receivers, and I think young JT Daniels, the true freshman quarterback, he's talented. I mean, there's some reasons for optimism, but I think what Clay Helton is going to have to do is he's going to have to make some big staff hires, which quite honestly hadn't done before, and I think people look at that staff makeup and they feel like it's an underwhelming group. They don't run the football well. We saw 2 weeks ago our crew did the UCLA game, and UCLA ran it down their throats. They had a walk-on 1AA running back run for almost 300 yards against those guys. So I think there's going to be some hard questions there. Lots of people like Clay Helton. I mean, he's a genuinely decent man. But beyond that, I think some people who've been around the team look at it and go, you know what? They don't have enough of an edge. Now, that doesn't mean Clay Helton needs to have it, but he needs to find guys on his staff who I think can bring that out, especially during the week in practice, and make this a tougher, more disciplined team. I feel like that's what's been missing. I'm curious to see who he's going to hire. I think they're going to start swinging for the fences, something that didn't feel like they had done before, to surround him with that. And I think if they can make some key hires, a few big name hires who are proven guys who can help, I think that will kind of diffuse a little bit of the kind of frustration and animosity that you have from this fan base.
Bruce Feldman joining us. Bruce, let me ask you this. To that point then, and I know you've given this thought, if they need to hit a home run and they've got to take some big swings, how do you do so when the head coach is already on thin ice? Like, who's going to want to come to that situation, and do you have any big names in mind that you think they can land?
Well, I think the biggest part is whoever comes in, let's say you're going to be the offensive coordinator and take over that side. You know, Clay Helton had taken over play calling duties from T. Martin. You know, T. Martin's well-liked. He's a terrific recruiter. I could see them wanting to keep him around, but maybe, you know, certainly find a new play caller. But the question's going to be, if you're a coach and saying, all right, you know what? We knew Clay Helton was on the hot seat. We knew they struggled. They were a team that only won 5 games. If I go in there to help that team out, and all of a sudden they go from a 5-win team to a 10-win team, and or even more, they win the Pac-12 title, that those people who are the additions are going to get a lot of credit for that. So, you know what? Swing for the fences. I'll tell you what, one of the hottest commodities right now in coaching is a guy who just lost his head coaching job at Texas Tech. And I know a lot of people in the NFL have a lot of interest in Cliff Kingsbury. you know, that's a name that I think there's going to be a lot of people going to say, hey, at least go after somebody like that. I mean, there's a lot of good offensive coaches out there that I think USC really needs to kind of at least kick the tires on and say, hey, you know what, we're going to take a shot and take a swing. Because I think really that's what the USC fans want. They look at some of the hires he's made in the past and think, okay, these are nice guys, but should, you know, that's fine at other places. USC should be doing what Urban Meyer's done, what Nick Saban's done, you know, go hire guys who are in demand and try to get them. USC has a lot of money and they have a lot of resources, and it's, you know, it's obviously, it's a great place to live in Southern California. It's appealing for a lot of people. Go see if you can make that happen. And to me, those are going to be the biggest recruits that Clay Helton will be going for this winter. It won't be kids in high school or kids in junior college. It's going to be grown men who can help them to prepare and make this team more disciplined and quite honestly, more focused.
Such a good point. Bruce Feldman joining us. He's working from Columbus. Bruce, one last thought. So Michigan loses. What does that mean for the college football playoff picture? Who would you have in the fourth spot right now?
You know, I'm curious what the committee's going to come out with this week, where you have Ohio State versus Oklahoma, both really good offensive teams. I think Ohio State's resume with who they've beaten could stack up well. I mean, I think their win as they dominated Michigan is going to be better than anything that OU will have. But, you know, OU is going to get the chance to avenge their only loss, and their only loss was to Texas by 3 points, whereas Ohio State had a really bad loss. They lost to a pretty average Purdue team. They got blown out on the road. And I feel like a lot of people are looking at them going, well, they kind of stumbled and sputtered, and now they're finishing strong. I think what's going to work against them a little bit is people feel like they've been disappointing, you know, because it feels like they've been underachieving for a lot of the year. And as much as maybe you can flip it and go, okay, well, look at Oklahoma. Their defense has been horrible. Do we have confidence in that defense? Yeah, Kyler Murray's been phenomenal, and the offense is really explosive. But I'm not sure how much, you know, you got one who looks like it's underachieving and the other one who looks like they're just not very good on defense. So I think right now I'm curious to see what the committee is going to feel like they have more confidence in. Question is, I think if both teams bring their A game, I think Ohio State is the more dangerous team. But I don't know if the committee is going to feel that way when they look at just – the losses, the one loss is much worse than what Oklahoma has against Texas.
Hey, Bruce, one last thing. You and I have done this a long time, and you've come on our TV shows, you've come on our radio shows, and I know you're locked in to the sport that you're covering, the thing you're working on, but what a fascinating time it is. I look at your bio, and look at the way I introduced you. Reporter for Fox Sports, FS1, writer for The Athletic, New York Times best-selling author. What an interesting time in the media landscape and the way it's shaping up right now. Like, what's your work like for you, and how different is it now than what you did even 5 or 6 years ago?
Oh, it's been dramatically different. I think the biggest thing is you got to be versatile and be open to different things. And I feel really lucky that, you know, Fox gave me the chance to do sideline. And I feel like there's a lot of people you can look at who are really good at what they do and say, okay, I don't know if I can be as good as that person or that woman is at what she does, but I can try to aspire to be that. And I mean, to me, the message is go try to be open to do as many different things. And at the core of it, I mean, I love covering college football. It's been the best job, you know, I could have ever hoped for. If you had told, you know, me when I was in junior college that this is what I get to do years later, I'd be like, okay, what finger do I have to cut off to make that happen?
Right.
You know, so I feel really, really fortunate about it. And it's, you know, like I said, it's a good time to be in the sport, because I think so much stuff you have to evolve. And you know, like I said, I'm grateful to Fox especially for giving me the opportunity to do some stuff that, quite honestly, I never would have dreamed I would have gotten those chances, maybe at other places.
Bruce Feldman, reporter for Fox Sports and FS1. He writes for The Athletic and is a best-selling author as well. New York Times best-selling author. Bruce, great to have you back. I know you're busy and working today. Thanks for sliding that one in.
Always a pleasure, Jim. Take care.
You too. Bruce Feldman. It's good advice, too, if you're in the media, aspiring to be in the media, already in the media. He's right. Got to try different things. We all have to evolve. We all have to change, reinvent, reimagine. And I think pretty much all of us in the business think like that. All right. We ran a little bit fat there because he joined us a little bit later in the segment, but that was worth it. Some really good information. Break time. We get you a sports update. Here it is. Welcome back. Somebody's got to pull Baker Mayfield off of Hugh. He's not done yet. I'll tell you what, if you're going to take a run at Baker Mayfield, you better be ready because he's going to fire right back. And more often than not, he's got ammunition. I've got that story coming up in a minute. First up, though, the ATP. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You ask me a question, I answer it, and you want to remember to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here is the ATP. Jim, I know you're a big tech and gadget guy. Where do you stand on Cyber Monday sales? Are you going to the Lapper after the show and getting in on some crazy deals? Well, yes. That, and I'm going to host the RPO after the show. Rome Price Opinion podcast. And you probably know that already. But yeah, hell yes I am. I love Cyber Monday. I love it. And I'll tell you exactly what I'm going to get in on. I'm going to go to my Lapper, and I'm going to take care of a little holiday shopping. Take care of the fam, take care of the friends, take care of some colleagues. And in no particular order, when I get to my Lapper, here's where I'm going to go. OnePeloton.com. Love my Peloton. And you know I'll be hooking somebody up with that. I'll tell you someplace else I'm going to end up. Casper, best mattress ever. Promo code Rome. Untuck it. Promo code Rome 20. You know it. I'll be taking advantage of all sorts of deals, and you should too. All right, so in terms of Baker Mayfield, I said there's more. So just to backtrack, Alvy, after the game, the media was asking Baker Mayfield about that kind of awkward handshake between he and his former head coach, Hugh Jackson. Hugh Jackson was on the field looking for Baker Mayfield and tried to hug it out with him. However, Baker didn't want anything to do with that and merely shook his hand. And it seemed awkward and it seemed cold. So the media said, hey, Baker, what's up with that? What was going through your mind? What were you thinking? What'd you say to your former coach?
Left Cleveland, goes down to Cincinnati. I don't know. It's just somebody that was in our locker room asking for us to play for him and then goes to a different team. We play twice a year. Everybody can have their spin on it, but that's how I feel.
All right, so my reaction to that was, I said, I've got no problem with Hugh going to Cincinnati. Hugh got fired, right? Hugh can go to work for somebody else. And I could see where maybe he'd want to go to a rival that had two shots at the team that fired him before the end of the season, right? He's a competitive guy. I could see that. I could also see where his friend Marvin Lewis might want to hire him knowing that he had to play them two more times. It might have some information that might be helpful. So that in and of itself, I've got no issue with that at all. I've got no issue with Hugh going to Cincinnati, even though Baker and the rest of the Browns did. That said, I've got no issue with Baker Mayfield handling himself the way he did. I've got no issue with Baker Mayfield getting fuel from that, using that to put a bigger chip on his shoulder. Man, that's what Baker Mayfield does. He's looking for every slight, every edge, every advantage, every chip, any bit of fuel that he can get. He's like as big a fuel guy as I've ever seen. So I've got no issue with that. Now, I didn't see it because I'm working right now. I didn't see it, but apparently on ESPN, Damian Woody felt that it was hypocritical of Baker to call out Hugh Jackson for leaving the Browns to go to the Bengals. Woody said that was hypocritical because Mayfield transferred from Texas Tech to Oklahoma. And Woody's comments were posted on First Take's Instagram, and Baker responded. Like I said, Baker Mayfield is a huge fuel guy, and if you're going to take a run at him, this guy's been taking mental notes. He always will. He knows. So he left a comment on First Take's post about it being hypocritical. Then why is he saying that about Hugh when he himself left Tech to go to Houston or Oklahoma? His comment reads, quote, not even comparable. I didn't lose 30 plus games, be fake, and then do that. I wasn't going to have a scholarship. Good try, though, buddy. And Baker Mayfield goes Baker Mayfield again. I don't know. That's just not a cat that I'd mess with at this point. I think that this guy, and it's so much fuel for this guy. Literally every time somebody takes a run at him. Number one, know he's going to come back just as strong or stronger right at you. We've seen this. And number two, he's just getting more and more fuel. And he makes an interesting point, I think. He's saying, look, it's not one and the same. I didn't lose 30 games. Be fake. And then do that. So what he means by him being fake, I don't really know. I'm not there. I could guess. And he said, I wasn't going to have a scholarship. I left because I was not going to have a scholarship. And then he tagged it with, good try, though, buddy. And didn't mention him by name. America's team if you need them. Now you know why they finally got it right. Made him the number one pick overall. Man, that is something. I'm telling you, I wouldn't mess with this guy right now. Not the way he's playing and not the way he prepares. Let's go to the phones. All right, so it's good. Let's end the show with somebody I know. Let's end the show with somebody who's close to home. Let's end the show with somebody who's won the smack off before. Let's end the show on a solid note. Somebody who's not going to bring me down. Let's go to Huntington Beach. My man, my bra, silk bra. What's up, brother?
Hey, Jimmy, how you doing, buddy? Hey, listen, now, I gained a few extra pounds on this Thanksgiving break, and I was wondering if you could hook a brother up with a Peloton. Come on.
That's not a good car. No. You don't like that car.
I don't like that car. Not a very good car.
Come on.
The over-under on words uttered by the fake silk before I know it's the fake silk is zero. And then I just wait for the come on. Like, come I don't on. Blow him up until the come on comes in.
Come on.
No fake silk. I can't hook you up with a free Peloton, but I can hook you up with one. Go to onepeloton.com. But you need it, bro. You need it. Your calls are way too breathy. You need to improve your cardiovascular activity. I love the Peloton. In fact, I hit mine yesterday when I came off that long holiday weekend. It felt so good. Felt so good. And I'll be on mine later on today. If you want to take me on the leaderboard, look for me later on today. I'll be there. What are your thoughts on Baker Mayfield? What are your thoughts of him coming right back and posting on First Take's Instagram account and tagging it, good try though, buddy. You're living large. Huge call today brought to you by Jim Rome.
It never felt so friggin' good. Being so friggin' right. Saying Harbaugh crapped his pants Saturday afternoon doesn't even scratch the friggin' surface. In 35 years of watching college football, I've never seen a bigger choke job. It was so bad, even that jock-sniffing, hero-worshipping fanboy Mark in Boston had no excuses for his Lord and Savior. And Harbaugh made my day even better when he went all out 2-year-old and ran out of the post-game presser. The entire college football world got to see he's nothing more than a classless, gutless, spineless, cowardly little bitch. But keep on rooting for him, Michigan football man. Just more evidence of how stupid you really are.
Rick in Buffalo. As if any of you were going to beat that guy back. Rick in Buffalo. There's your huge call. My thanks to Bruce Feldman, Tariq Cohen, Sean O'Hara. And it's good to be back on a Monday. Don't forget, I've got the RPO podcast, Rome Price Opinion. It's coming up a little bit later on. I will sit with Trevor Price. We'll tape that momentarily. We're going to recap the NFL weekend. He'll have some good anecdotes. We'll take a look at the Monday game and ahead to Thursday as well. Look for that later on today. See you then. We're out.